Ladies and gentlemen, now hosting the RizzoCast, put your hands together for Steven Risotto!
What's going on, everybody? And welcome, happy holidays to everybody out there who listens to RizzoCast. My name is Steven Risotto. I cover the San Francisco Giants for SF Bay, and I'm the host of RizzoCast, the podcast that features current and former big league players, coaches, fans, media, and others who are regarded as some of the brightest minds around the game of baseball. Today's guest is Miles Mastroboni, a utility man for the Chicago Cubs. Quick note on Miles. He and I go back a few years when I was the editor for the Skyline View at Skyline College, and I worked on a story about his career with Miles. He was nice enough to cooperate because he was an alumni of the junior college district that I was in. So since then, a lot has happened. He was a Rays minor leaguer then. Since then, he's been traded by the Rays, made his debut with the Cubs, and found big league success, and also played for Team Italy in the 2023 WBC. We discuss all of that, so much more, coming up next on RizzoCast. This is episode number 161, and let's get started.
All right, and we are back on RizzoCast with Miles Mastroboni, and Miles is nice enough to take some time on right in the midst of these holidays to take some time to chat. Miles, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Yeah, it's good to see you, man. Thanks for having me on here.
Absolutely. And I just mentioned the holidays. It is that time of year. What are the plans, I guess, just to start off here? What are the plans for you? Anything going on this year with you and your family, friends? What do you usually have going on during the holiday season?
Yeah, so we're back here. You know, I grew up in the Bay Area, obviously, but we're back here in Jersey now. My family's moved back here we're coming up on... We're coming up on 6-7 years now that we've been back here. So it's been good to be back around family. This is where all of our family has been, even when I was growing up in the Bay Area back here on the East Coast. So we just get together with the family, man, and we get the wine flowing, Italian style. And, you know, we just enjoy each other's company being around family.
Did you ever get told, like, manja as a kid?
I mean, yeah, you hear that. You hear that all the time. Yeah. My dad used to say we used to always have a Sunday dinners and stuff like that. So right when we would sit down with family friends, everyone would usually rip a manja chant every once in a while. So yeah, we always get it in there.
Yeah, it's like every night in an Italian household, you sit down and you're like, oh, pasta with pesto again. Oh, but yeah. Kind of an ongoing thing, but is your Christmas shopping done at least? Are you big, like, shopping? Do you get stuff done early? Are you a last minute Christmas shopper? Take us through that.
Yeah, so usually I'm right in the middle. Like, usually I'm a middle to late Christmas shopper. This year was actually kind of crazy. I was down in Florida, and it was Cyber Monday, and I was like, you know what, let's try this out. And I went on online and just ripped off just a bunch of purchases. And this was the first time that I got probably 75% of my Christmas shopping done before the 1st of December, which is wild for me. I got it done early this year. It was actually kind of a good feeling not to be rushing around too much towards the end of this month. So
Amazon came in clutch is what you're saying.
Amazon came in clutch. Yep. There were some good deals, or so they say. They were good deals online, and I just rolled with it. So it was good. It was easy.
Well, there you go. Hopefully the family and friends appreciate that. So in case anybody out there listening didn't know, I actually wrote an article about Miles a few years ago when I was at Skyline College. Yep. About his career and kind of playing for College of San Mateo. He's a JUCO guy. We'll get into that in just a sec. And the story, Miles, I don't know if you know this, became award winning. It was published on the best of student newspapers online. So I could thank you for that.
All you right there, bro. So good work, man. That's sick.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And since that happened, there's been a lot of things that have happened to you. You made your debut. You landed with a new team. You briefly played internationally. There's quite a bit to catch up on, man. So and before we get into all of that, I know you're a baseball fan, and I'm sure that you have a take on the massive development in Southern California with the Dodgers landing Ohtani. I mean, What is thought about among some of the active players about a 10-year, $700 million deal for this guy? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I haven't really spoke too much to teammates or friends or anything like that. I mean, I think the first thing that kind of goes through everyone's head is just jaw dropping, right? Like, you know, good for him. I got to play against them. Wild experience when we played Team Japan in the Tokyo Dome in the WBC. I saw him during this year in Anaheim. You know, he's an amazing ball player. Like, you know, he threw against Team Italy in Japan, you know, so I got to face him on the bump and see him hit. Like, you know, he's a one in a lifetime talent for sure. He went out and got his money, like, you know, with all the deferrals and everything like that. That's kind of wild how all that situation is going down, but you know, good for him.
He's going to be sport, yeah, so. He's going to be getting paid for a long time. And speaking of free agents, I'll give you another one. Cody Bellinger, your guy Cody Bellinger, your teammate from last season, is also dangling on the market, and I'd imagine there's a hope to see him return with the Cubs for you. But what's it like playing alongside Cody, and if you'd have to give kind of like a review of what it was like playing with Cody Bellinger, because he seems like a fun guy and definitely one of the best players out there right now.
Yeah, no, it was good to get to know him on a personal level and everything like that. It was fun just sitting down, talking, hitting with him, and, you know, talking, you know, just talking through all the experiences that he's had, you know, being in LA for a while, big market, how to handle it, that kind of thing. You saw, you know, Cody in true fashion, I think, last year, just with the way he played. He's worked so hard to get back, just not even to get back, just to be himself, to play the way that, you know, he and probably expects himself to play. And it was fun to have a front seat to that and watch him do his thing. He helped me a bunch, and lucky to have him as a teammate for sure.
And would like to see him back, right?
He was a great teammate. I love playing with him. I think everybody would say the same. You know, he's such a good dude. He's a same guy every day. He works his tail off. You know, it's hard to say anything bad about that guy. He's a great dude. So I wish him nothing but the best wherever he goes. Yeah, I would love to continue to play with him for sure.
Of course. And he's someone that's been on like the radar for a while, right? Little League World Series star. And here he is, you know, putting up numbers in the big leagues. Yeah. Let's discuss you a little bit. I mean, you, again, Northern California guy from the East Bay, San Ramon, Livermore area for a long time. Like, how did you get involved in baseball, and what's kind of that background for you? How did it all begin?
Yeah, came from my dad, honestly. He grew up a huge Yankee fan, and that was the one sport in the house that I wasn't allowed to root for any other team but the Yankees, you know. So every night it was Yankee games on, and like when you just sit down and watch games, you know, my pops did a really good job in just like kind of explaining the game and the game within the game, you know, when to steal, when to bunt, when not to, when to take a shot, like, you know, things like that. And like, that's kind of where the love kind of started, you know. And then to have Derek Jeter to watch kind of every single day, like, you know, that was kind of my, you know, besides my parents, that was my idol growing up. And that was, In the moment, you don't realize how special it is, how special a player is. But, you know, a lot of people have a lot of criticism for him. But what he was able to do in that city and in the playoffs and have that long of a career, like, that it was just amazing to watch. And something for me being a young kid, it was very good to look up to.
And a lot of people wore number two because of Derek Jeter. And
I did my whole
– yeah.
I wore it at CSM. I wore it in high school. I did it at Nevada. I wore it a few times in pro ball. So, yeah, I think our generation, you're right around the same age as me, right? If not, maybe a little younger.
Younger.
You know, he was the guy growing up, right? Like, he was always on TV. Always seemed like he did the right thing and stuff. So, he was a good guy to look up to for sure.
Yeah, I love Derek Jeter. I think Derek Jeter is one of the best figures in baseball. And there's that argument where it's like, well, if you stick him in Kansas City, he's somebody else. Like, he's not as great. And that's true, but he's also the right guy at the right spot in New York who handled it the right way, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and the defense, they get on him for that too. He also had over 3,000 hits.
I know. Like I said, I you know, a lot of people criticize, but I don't think you realize how hard it is just to like play in that city, let alone, you know, there's so much criticism just in that city and so many expectations that you got to hold up, you know, and that's a beast in its own, let alone the stuff that goes on the field. So,
yeah, there's just the whole aura about him. And also the stuff that like we don't know about, like, you know, how he carried himself in the clubhouse and how he held people accountable. Sure. And even on the other side, the gift baskets and the women, like, it's also interesting to me about Derek Jeter. But
You don't know what's true and what's not true. There's a lot of rumors that get spread around. So,
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the Yankees, though, because I went back and checked. July 8th, 2023, Cubs in New York at Yankee Stadium. Miles Mastroboni, the starting third baseman. Hey, a 2-for-3 afternoon, including a double. That must have been a really cool moment for you.
Yeah, I think as of right now, that kind of that's the highlight right now for sure. You know, just because growing up, that was a dream, playing Yankee Stadium. You know, play shortstop in Yankee Stadium, wear number 2, like be Derek Jeter, wear pinstripes, like all this stuff. You know, I grew up watching those games so many different times. And the thing that was most special about it, though, was to just see all my family in the stands, to be honest with you. And, you know, I got a lot of good support from a lot of good people. And to see them up there, we had a good cheering section for sure. And, you know, it was good to just experience that with the people closest to me.
And during BP, was there, like, just a lot of thought about that short porch in right field?
Honestly, crazy story, to be honest with you. So I got called up that day. They were already in New York. It was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. That Saturday and Sunday were day games, and I was down in AAA, and I got called up. I didn't hear anything. I didn't know I was going up until about late afternoon on Friday. And in AAA in Des Moines, Iowa, it's a super small airport. So I wasn't able to get out of Des Moines that night. I had to go on, long story short, I had to take a super early flight out for a day game in New York. And I got in New York around like 9:30, and I went from airport right to the ballpark. And day games usually don't take BP. So I just took a few ground balls and then just went out there and, you know, rolled the balls out there and just let whatever happened. And I was able to, you know, have a pretty decent game. So
that was one of these times we'll get the short porch. One of these times. One of the top angles that I wrote in that story was that you took the junior college route. And I talk a lot about this ad nauseum on this podcast, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are going to say, oh, he's bringing up junior college again. But I think it's really important. And I think it's important for players to know that that is an option that's available to where you're going to be able to play. And I think that's the bottom line that people need to understand who are kind of kids coming up in baseball, is that you should go where you're going to play. And if you're going to go to a 4-year university and sit the first 2 years, like, what good is that for your development? So why was junior college something that ended up helping you and be a good decision for you?
Yeah. So, I'll try and shorten it up as best as possible. But I mean, I personally think my 2 years at San Mateo is the reason why I'm where I'm at. You know, there's so many things that go into it, but, you know, my goal coming out of high school was to sign a D1 scholarship, you know, like every kid wants to do. Right. But, fortunately I had some schools pass on me and this and that, and, you know, fuel my fire. But I had, you know, Doug Williams, Alex Weeks, Falds, Brett Thomas, like I had a crew that really believed in me and believed in my ability and wanted me to come to San Mateo. And so, so I did, you know, not knowing, you know, what was going to go on and that kind of thing. But you kind of hit it right on the head. Like right there is, you know, could I have gone and walked on somewhere? Like, absolutely. But like, I was able to go to a really good baseball junior college, where they had a lot of talent and it was going to make me better. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to play my freshman year and get some experience and stuff like that. And like, that's the biggest thing, you know, you can't make moves sitting on the bench, unfortunately, you know? So, if I have any advice to anybody is, you know, if there's, you should never shy away from competition, but, if there's a spot that you're going to a good junior college, or even if you want to try the route and, you know, really go balls out at a Division I or a good D2, like go ahead and do it. But the junior college route really worked for me. It helped me grow up, helped me learn myself as a person, as a baseball player. So, you know, I'm very fortunate for those guys at CSM, and it helped me get to where I am today for sure.
And hopefully there's a lot of people that are listening that hear that and take that advice, because that's really good advice. And it ended up helping because you were later drafted by the Rays in the 14th round in 2016, and then finally reached the big leagues for an 8-game stint with Tampa Bay. And then in November of last year, you were traded. Did you expect that to happen? Because I think a lot of people are curious about how trades work and like what the player goes through, how they find out. So take us through the process of something like that, where the Rays call and say, hey, we traded you, or do the Cubs call? Like, what happens during a trade?
Yeah, so I know right around mid-November, every team, that's when they got to set their 40-man for the offseason. With the Rays, just knowing, I was with the Rays for 7 years, and I know they like to make a lot of moves and stuff like that.
It's going to happen eventually.
But, you know, I got nothing but good things to say about the Rays. They helped me develop, be the player that I am today, 100%. And, you know, I knew something was either going to happen. I was either going to stay on. I was going to get, you got three options, get DFA'd or be traded, you know? So I was hoping stay on or be traded, you know? It's always a little scary when you get DFA'd. I've never been, knock on wood, but, you never know what can happen in those things. You go on waivers and there's a whole, box of worms that leads to that. But, I was playing winter ball down in the Dominican, last year, and I literally just got down a day before I got traded. So, I got a call. Yeah. The Rays just called, said I've been traded to the Cubs. And that was that, you know, and got a call from the Cubs, welcome me and stuff like that. Little bit of a different period, just because it's kind of the beginning of the off season. It's a little dead period, but you know, it was a good first year in Chicago. Amazing city. Wrigley's a dream, and we're looking forward to this year coming up for sure.
Yeah, and you cracked that opening day roster for the Cubs this past year, right? And I guess that vision of like, or I guess that memory of you standing on the line, hearing the national anthem, everybody's lined up on the field, and there's like the opening day festivities. What was that like, knowing that, you know, you got that job or in that job directly out of spring training and got to kind of experience that moment?
Yeah. Wild. You know, that was my first opening day, in the big leagues, you know, like, something you don't take lightly for sure. You know, it gives you chills kind of just thinking about it. I remember it being very cold in Chicago. It's cold that time of year, but, you know, you always set goals out for yourself, you know, in the off season and stuff like that. That's always, that'll always be a goal of mine. You know, that's one of the ones up there. You know, I was fortunate to break with the team, had a good camp, good WBC, you know, and it was very special. Family was there to see that too. And, yeah, very special moment for sure in my career.
Yeah, and you just mentioned something about Wrigley, how you said Wrigley is a dream. And when we think of like cathedrals in baseball, we honestly think of two ballparks, right? Fenway and Wrigley. And obviously the Cubs play their home games at Wrigley. I mean, what is like that ballpark like? Because I know they made some upgrades a few years ago that really like opened up the clubhouse a little bit from what I've heard. The bullpens are down below. What's it like playing at Wrigley Field every day?
Amazing. The city's amazing. The fans show out there. They love their Cubs there, man. They love their Cubs. And, you know, they love their day games there and everything. A day game in Wrigley, I haven't been everywhere in the league yet. So I still got to experience, you know, every single place and stuff like that. But a day game in Chicago when the weather's nice and it's 80 degrees, like, it's packed, you know, there's a buzz going around the city. It's amazing. It's something, it's hard to describe, to be honest with you, but it's something that you always dreamed about, playing in front of a packed house, and they do that there for sure.
And the day games mean that you get to kind of experience like some of the local spots, I'd imagine. So yeah, there's probably a lot of good.
Yeah,
food
you definitely get some dinner in and stuff like that. Chicago's got, you know, an infinite amount of places to go. You know, the food's so good there in that city, and you know, there's been some good spots and some good dinners had for sure.
Yeah, that song After Wins is so catchy. Hey, Chicago,
yeah,
what? Yeah,
I know.
It's
It's a good
so
one.
catchy. Yeah, now
It is a good one.
It's gonna
It
be
just
in my
puts a
head
smile
now.
on your face, honestly.
Yeah,
So
it's gonna be in my head now, which is not a bad thing, I don't think. So kind of going on to like a big part of your game is stealing bases, right? And there's the bigger bases, and the rules are kind of favoring the base runner a little bit more than they were. And you know, you ended up swiping 13 in the big leagues and then 9 more in AAA. Why has that become kind of or how did that become a comfortable part of your game, and maybe a key to stealing bases?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always been able to run a little bit. I mean, I don't know what scouts kind of consider me as I wouldn't know if I would go as far as like burner, but I definitely think I got pretty, you know, a decent amount of speed. But I think the biggest thing is the way I look at it is I tapped into a little bit to a decent amount of power, and in 22 I was tapping into a little bit in 21, nothing crazy, but 22 I kind of had a big power year. But you know, I do think that power can be a part of my game, but I think if the power side is not going to be there, then mix it in with, you know, the speed. You know, if you get on first base, like turn that thing into a double, you know, get on second base, steal third, you know what I'm saying? It's a big aspect that you can use if you don't have that, you know, I don't have that, you know, elite kind of power, I would say, kind of in my game. So I think there's another way that I could be elite, and that's, you know, steal bases and use my speed.
Did you feel like a sense of responsibility, like understanding the new rules that were coming in? Because you had them in the minor leagues for a little bit there. And a lot of the veterans, like, were kind of on their own to adjust, and they had to figure it out on their own. And this was kind of the first time that a lot of the younger players had experienced something that the veterans didn't. So did you get a chance to kind of like, I don't want to say pass on wisdom, I don't know if that's too much of a stretch, but I guess pass on advice to some of the older guys that might have been struggling with it initially in spring training and in the beginning of the year?
I think some guys just asked questions about it, to be honest with you, but I don't think it was like too crazy where guys were like, oh my God, this is, you know, it obviously takes a little getting used to, but I think once you deal with it for a little bit, like, it becomes kind of second nature and you know what you're dealing with. But it wasn't, you just tell them, you know, the way kind of certain things work. There's a lot of questions during spring training for those kind of guys. But I mean, for the most part, I think it was pretty straightforward and what kind of was going to go on, but it does take a little bit of time to get used to that new sense of routine that you kind of needed to have for sure.
So it wasn't like Bellinger coming up to you and saying, Miles, teach me your ways. Or
No.
None of that.
I wouldn't think. Yeah. Not too bad.
Yeah. Well, maybe if he comes back, then you could teach him your ways. And I think another thing that stands out.
Be the other way around. I got to learn from him.
Yeah. Good athlete for sure. And I think another thing that stands out on your, like, you know, the back of your baseball card per se is the strikeout to walk ratio that you've had, like, historically through the minor leagues and the big leagues. It's been pretty healthy, I guess is the right word. And it kind of shows now in your approach now in the big leagues. And as someone who, like, you know, isn't the biggest dude in the world, how did your understanding of the strike zone kind of becoming, you know, an advantage for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think throughout, even from when I was younger. I felt like I always had a good good idea of the strike zone and discipline at the plate. But I think going back to kind of using my speed, like that's the way I kind of look at it. I think it kind of correlates with, you know, my strikeout to walk ratio. Just not, I feel like I would have to look at the numbers, but I feel like I struck out a little more than I would like to last year. But just putting the ball in play, right? Like use my speed, try and make it hard on the defense. You know what I'm saying? Like if you put the ball in play, you got a chance at something, you know, you got to get on base, score, and you know, you got to get on base and leave it for the other guys to kind of hit you in or hit a bomb, you know? So that's my kind of thing around it. I think it just correlates to, in my head, I'm just like, just get the ball and play whatever way you can and try and beat something out or just make it tough on the defense.
And I don't want to make it seem like you don't have any power, because you do have plenty of power. And we saw some of it last year. You hit your first big league home run at Wrigley last year. I watched the video before I hopped on here, and you put a pretty big jolt into it. So what do you remember about that at bat? On national TV too. Apple TV broadcast. Yeah.
Was it? It was a Friday. We were wearing our City Connect jerseys. Wrigley was packed, day game, like kind of what I was just explaining. Like it was against the Cardinals. Cardinals were in town, so you know the stadium was packed out. Fans were loud. I remember getting some chills a little bit going around first base, like a little bit of a, like I felt like I can take a deep breath. You know, I kind of got off to a rough start at the beginning, and I wouldn't even consider it a rough start. I was hitting some balls well, just right at guys at the beginning of the year, and it kind of just led into me overthinking and stuff. But I just remember that's probably one of the, I got that one pretty good. I got all that one. I just remember rounding the bases and just wanted to take it all in. You know what I'm saying? They got all the music playing on the scoreboard and everyone's jumping around and stuff like that. And it was, yeah, it's a special moment for sure. I was able to get the ball after and everything and meet the fans and stuff. So that was cool and everything. But yeah, it was a good day and we won that day. So it was a good day.
Where's the ball?
I got it downstairs. Yeah, I got it. My dad, we've been looking at houses and stuff, but my dad's got a room with all of me and my brother's stuff. Just from, I don't even know when it started, but just throughout all of our careers and stuff. And, it's in the mix in there. So
it's in the mix. I like that. Yeah. Among all the, like the youth number two jerseys down there, probably.
There you go. Yep.
So, you mentioned kind of that rough start, and I don't have like the peripherals, but I'm sure you were hitting the ball hard, but you finished the year pretty great with the results, 730 OPS after the All-Star break at the big league level. And I know there's some time in Iowa too, but what was behind kind of the late season success for you toward the end of the year? Was it just getting more comfortable, getting more consistent plate appearances? What was it that kind of, you know, I guess brought you to a good finish?
Yeah, I think those definitely, what you just said, get more comfortable, seeing a few more plate appearances. But I think I kind of touched on it just previously. I started off the year, and to be honest with you, I look back on it and like I was actually hitting some balls hard, and unfortunately there was just nothing to show for it. That led to me kind of thinking a little too much, you know, and I just felt like I lost my rhythm, to be honest with you. Went down to AAA. I was doing good, to be honest with you. But I still didn't feel like myself. I could feel it. Like something was just off rhythm wise. I just couldn't find my rhythm, you know? And, it honestly didn't click till later on in the year, which was, it's just a little frustrating, you know? I pride myself in consistency. And I hold myself up to, you know, a high standard, and, you know, it stinks that, I wasn't able to find it earlier than what I wanted to, but I mean, definitely looking back at that stretch, like to come in down the stretch in a playoff hunt, and you know, to put up good at bats and play good D, like I was very pleased with the way I ended, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And a few more things here before we wrap, but I do want to mention, you know, being a utility guy, Second base, third base, outfield. Do you enjoy moving around? Do you enjoy that aspect of your game, or what's the value that you feel you bring when you move around?
Yeah, I mean, I like it, to be honest with you. It doesn't get repetitive on a day-to-day basis. You know, I can go work at third, short, second, and then during BP, take reads in the outfield and stuff. So I kind of like that. I kind of like moving around. You know, I think it's always huge, especially with the way rosters kind of work. I know they're expanding them a little bit now, but, you know, when you get to the big league level and you got to carry a certain amount of guys, like if you can have a guy on the roster that can move around and, you know, can play all those certain positions, you know, in case, cause unfortunately injuries do happen in this game. And, you know, to try and go in there and you know, sub a guy, if a guy goes down or if a guy needs a blow, whatever the case may be, I think that provides high value for sure.
And that question was just the setup for what I'm about to get into now. Cause speaking of moving around, you also had the chance to pitch last year, and I don't know how much fun you had with this. Some people have fun with it. Some people, I don't know if they're annoyed by it, but you ended up facing five hitters and four of them scored. And your ERA,
yeah, not good.
Yeah, your
not
ERA.
Good.
Do you know what your ERA is? Do you know?
No, probably like 98 or something.
It's 108.
108, close.
So tell me, like, take us through that appearance. Like, what happened? What the hell happened? Were you trying?
Nah, I mean, no. It's always never really good whenever you see a position player on the mound, to be honest with you. Usually, for the most part, when a position player is in, you're usually getting killed, you know? You know, we're having kind of a bad game and whatever the case may be. Like, I don't like it in the sense of we were just losing, you know. Some people enjoy, oh, we saw you on the mound the other day, this and that. You know, it's fine, you know, for all that. But in my scenario, you know, it's always never fun whenever the team loses. So we were just kind of having a bad day. And, you know, I got out on the bump and I've actually pitched a little bit in my minor career and I actually have a zero. So that goes to kind of, but I don't try when I go out there, because if you go out there and you haven't been on the mound, like even going out that one time or the times that I have done it and I'm not throwing hard, I still am sore the next day. So it's like, it's drastic from throwing on a mound than it is a flat ground. So if I go out there and I actually try, there's a very good chance that I'm going to get hurt, and you never want that. So it's crazy experience. You kind of feel honestly lonely up there on the mound, you know, but yeah, it's one of those things. It's, you know, some, like I said, some take it a little enjoyable, but I think for me, like I said, whenever the team loses, it's always a bad day. So
yeah, I mean, I get stressed out when a position player comes in the pitch, because I feel like I'm very, like, concerned with any game I watch with any team. I'm very concerned about, well, do they have, you know, this guy threw 3 days in a row, is he able to pitch? Probably not, right? And I get concerned about, like, how bullpens are used, and I don't find it as entertaining as I once did when position players come in the pitch. And maybe you would enjoy it more if it was the Cubs that were winning by, you know, a large margin. And
100%.
Yeah, you'd have some more fun with it. But I saw a 77, I think, on the radar gun with the one pitch that I watched.
Once or twice, but yeah, like I said, I think I tried to throw one hard because I was trying to get out of the inning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The guy ended up getting a hit on it. But yeah, even as like position players, like when we see a guy, like a position player get out on the mound when we're hitting, it's just like, it's not really, it's just not baseball. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
So, you don't even want to face one. Yeah.
Because they're honestly harder to face than an actual pitcher, just because they're not throwing speeds that you're used to, you know? So yeah, it's not too enjoyable for really many, many people, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm sure. Final topic here before we wrap. On a lighter note, not pitching related, you had the chance to play for Team Italy in March in the WBC. You mentioned it earlier about going to the Tokyo Dome and facing Ohtani and that super team that ended up winning it all, and Yamamoto and all those guys. And you're a proud Italian, as am I. So take me through what I'm sure was a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Once in a lifetime. You know, I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of things. Baseball has brought a lot of things to me, and this was one of them that, as of right now, that was the best baseball experience I've had in my career. Starting from, you know, the first time I picked up a ball till now. It was amazing, to be honest with you. It's a different atmosphere. You're literally playing playoff baseball from game one. That's different. The emotion, the passion that's in it, you know, you're playing for, you know, your countries and everything. It was just amazing. And to go over to Taiwan and experience that country, and to make it through and to celebrate, and then to go on and play, you know, Japan in the Tokyo Dome. I thought we played them pretty hard, but, you know, we knew we were going up against a juggernaut with Ohtani being on the bump and Darvish coming in after him and everything. So I thought we still hung in there all right. They ended up beating us, you know, pretty good. They're pretty stacked up lineup wise and with the arms that we were facing. But it was amazing. Tokyo Dome was amazing. Japan was amazing. Japan's one of my favorite countries now. It was indescribable. The Team Italy guys, all the whole team, the staff, Piazza head coach,
that's right,
and all the guys that we had with, you know, they did a really good job getting that team together, and a great group of guys to come together. And it was just so much fun. I wish I could experience that more, you know, so I'm looking forward to the next one for sure. Hopefully I'm fortunate enough to be back on it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I was watching one of the Taiwan games. I can't remember if it was Italy that was playing, but you could clarify this for me. Were you playing in the game where there was the guy with the horn in Taiwan? In the stands, there's a guy blaring a horn. Maybe there's just all kinds of noises.
So I think that was Cuba's. That was one of Cuba's fans. But
that's what it was, yeah.
We played Chinese Taipei. They're the home team. Mm-hmm. Chinese Taipei is Taiwan. That might have been one of the loudest games I've ever played in.
Wow.
And I, you know, I've played down in Dominican. I played for Licey. And when Licey plays Aguilas, that's a huge rivalry down in the Dominican. And it's going, and those games get really loud down in the Dominican. And it's right up there, if not more. Like, I came off that field after the game. We lost a tough one. And I just had a headache from just how loud it was. It was a wild experience. Great atmosphere for sure.
Yeah, we'll hopefully get to play in another one soon. Final thing here, I mean, how's your offseason been? Like, is there anything that you're looking in particular to improve on? Like, what's the routine? Take me through your preparation for 2024.
Yeah, you're always looking to get better, right? You know, my biggest thing in off seasons is I get in the gym, and I'm always working out. I think that's kind of one of the biggest things. I've seen it translate into my game, just getting into the gym and, you know, putting my head down and grinding. So I continue to do that. But I think it's the same. You know, I think, you know, this year I realized that pitching in the big leagues, no joke. Like, you're facing arm after arm after arm. You're not getting a break one bit. You know, you're facing the best in the world. So there's not a lot of holes in teams' rotations and stuff like that. So, you know, I think one of the biggest things I just want to work on is just working on velo, keeping the velo up, you know, working on off speed. You got to take care of the off speed as well, because even though these guys throw 97, they like to throw their off speed more than they like to throw their fastball. So, you know, staying on that and just staying on my defense, keeping the hands good, and, you know, just keeping all facets ready to go for sure.
Absolutely. And what about the Cubs? What should we be looking for the Cubs? I know they had a little bit of a rough ending there, but what's the outlook for the Chicago Cubs in 2024? New manager coming in, so a lot of new changes. So what are you looking forward to with the team?
Yeah, I mean, not the way we definitely wanted to finish there for sure. But I think that's going to make us better, to be honest with you. I think we're kind of in the same narrative as we we were last year. I think a lot of guys are going to ride us off again. But we got a really good group in that locker room. I'm really excited to go to work with those guys again here shortly. I think you're going to have to watch out for the Cubs. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the group that we got is a bunch of guys that really want it and guys that really, really work their tail off to be ready. So I think there's going to be some good things coming out of Chicago with the Cubs, and I'm excited to experience it with those guys for sure.
And you want to keep hearing that song too, huh?
Absolutely. Always. Every day. Every day.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Well, Miles, man, I appreciate you coming on. This was a blast. Hopefully you have a happy holidays, and we'll be rooting for you. I always root for the local guys. It's always good to get them on here.
Thank you, man.
I have way too many, like Sarah Padres on here. It's like too much, and like we need a break from Sarah. I went to Reardon, so I just don't have any affinity for Sarah at all. So got to get some new blood in here. Granada High School zone, East Bay zone, and it's good that you're having success. So thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you having me. Happy holidays to you and your fam too. Keep an eye on the schedule when we make our West Coast swing. If I'm able to see you guys while I'm out there, please shoot me a message and we'll get together or something, or I'll see you at the park. So we'll get something together for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I cover a lot of games in San Francisco a few times a week during the season. And I'll be sure to during BP or something. So I had Glasnow on a while back.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw Glasnow that.
And speaking of Rays that come on here and get traded, you just joined that list. But Glasnow on, and he threw, and I was working the next game. I write some game stories every now and then at the ballpark from the press box. And that Wednesday, he was throwing a flat ground, and I blocked the dugout. So I blocked the dugout rail. So when he went by, he had to pass me. And I was like, hey, Tyler. And he remembered the podcast. So hopefully when the Cubs are in town next season, I'll block the dugout when I see you out there during BP. So you have to walk by me. So you can't ignore me, Miles.
You just got to shout my name. I'll remember you for sure.
Sounds good, man. I'm sure a lot of friends will be at that one too. And everybody could go ahead and follow Miles on Instagram. He is putting on his story that he's like testing out new bats or something. I don't know what he was doing the other day. But at Miles _ Mastro, what were you doing?
Yeah, just those guys over at Victus, they take care of me. I usually try and make a trip every off season to go see them. They're just like an hour, 45 minutes away from where I'm at in Jersey. They're out there and out just outside of Philly. So they're amazing. Really good wood bats. Very fortunate to have them. But we were just going through tinkering around with a signature model that I got, and trying to get what's going to get me a lot of hits this year. So
absolutely, shout out to them too. Everybody could of course follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at RizzoCast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you find your stuff. Go check it out. Leave a review too, and see you next time.